You know, this morning when I got up, before I came in the church, God brought a Bible verse to me, an event in the Bible to share this morning. And when I got in this morning, I got a phone call. I thought, wow. You know, God's always up before enemy is. And the phone call was that just be on the alert because demonic activity is really increasing. And so I guess I want to share this with you this morning because some don't believe in demonic activity. And the demonic activity is Satan. Yeah. Okay? You know, it's kind of like, let's go back to World War II. In Hawaii there, the island got bombed, did it not? Did we bomb it ourselves? An enemy bombed us, right? There was good and evil. And the enemy came, attacked us, and we rose up and went after the enemy. Same in the spiritual realm, and please hear what the Word of God is saying this morning, that there is good and evil. You can't have good without evil. Understand that. You can't have light without darkness. Because there had to be something to light the darkness. Okay? So understand, there is demonic forces. It is a battle with Christians. When you're born again, the Spirit of living God comes inside you, lives in you, and the evil one comes after you, trying to take you out. Okay? It's a fight. It's a war. You know, you might be you sitting here today as a Christian, and 5 years ago you wasn't. You thought, 5 years ago I had a lot better. I didn't have all the stuff I'm going through now. This is the minute I got born again, all this stuff trying to happen to me. Okay? The reason being was, 5 years ago, Satan already had you. He already had you headed to hell. And when you declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you release from that death, you release from that power he had over you, man. He got aggravated and he wants you back. So he comes after you. And sometimes when he can't get you, he'll go after your family. He'll go after your friends. He'll go after different things, okay? But God said, remember this, the greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. But you got to realize the enemy is out there. And that is coming. It's attacking. It wants to destroy us. His head is going to be raised up greater and greater. The roar of him will be louder and louder because his time is short. But remember this, that Satan was a fallen angel. He was, never will be God. Understand that. Remember this, that God himself, well, he's not him, but God the Spirit, he didn't even throw Satan out of heaven. One of his angels did. See what I'm saying? There is no power that Satan has over us except for the power we give him. Understand that. Well, I don't give Satan any power. Oh, come on. You ever fear? That's not from God. It's not. I mean, that's something that we fear a lot. Some people do. But the spirit of fear is not from God. It's from Satan. Now, there's a difference between fear and caution. Hear amen on that?
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Okay? Fear will stop you from doing something. Caution, you'll do it, but you're going to be real careful doing it. You know what I'm saying? But God might tell you to do something, and you say, oh, I don't know. If you don't do it because you're scared, that's fear. Okay? If you're cautious because you've never done it before, and you other saints say, I've never done this before, but I heard you do it, that's being cautious. You understand what I'm saying? So don't think that tomorrow morning you get up and God tells you, I don't know if I can do that or not, God. Don't think that Satan's got a hold of you. Okay? Your body itself, okay, I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, God, thank you for the scripture. I know I can do this. So just strengthen me today, God, to do this, whether it's going to be to witness, it's going to be turn away from a temptation, okay? He's there. He's there. Fear will stop you from doing it. Caution you proceed wisely. Okay? So, but things like that that we do out of fear, we are arming our enemy. Do you ever doubt the Word of God? If you doubt the Word of God, now you're giving more fuel to our enemy. Now, do you ever not understand the Word of God?
Right.
Yes, amen. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us. So you get something that I don't quite understand this, God. The Holy Spirit, as you meditate on the Word and you pray, you get a revelation on that. There's a difference between not understanding and doubting. Doubting, it can't happen. And Satan do whatever he can in order to get involved in you to separate. Because all he needs a little gap like that to get in. If he can wiggle in, I'm telling you what, he'll get larger and larger and larger. And we can't allow that to happen. But that's what's trying to take place in today. He's trying to wiggle in the churches. Understand that? He is. He wants to be in churches. He wants you to sit beside someone today and say, well, I like that Pastor Stark. I think he's funny. But, you know, I don't believe everything he says. And that, you know, come on now. I mean, I don't believe that Jesus, oh, come on, did he really do that? Yeah. And he'll do that. He'll come in here. Well, Vicky, you know, you're really a great cook. You really do a great job. You're awesome. You know, boy, you've been coming here a long time, haven't you? But yeah, I don't really. Some of the stuff that Starkey talks about, come on, come on, you know. And I'm talking about not the jokes I tell. I'm talking about the Bible. When I'm talking about the Bible, he'll just try to get in there and give a little wiggle room. I don't think it really. His job is to distort the Word of God. Okay? His job is to dilute the Word of God. His job is just to twist it just enough. He started clear back in the garden. Did he really say, he said to Eve? Did he really say? Well, let me think. Instead of going back to the Word of God, what did he say? He listened more to Satan. And folks, when we do that, when we start allowing the world to come into our decisions, it dilutes the Word of God. How does it do that? Oh, come on, Bonnie. Come with me tonight. Come on, I'm going to go down here. We're going to go down here and play cards down here at the Eagles or something down there. We're just going down and play cards tonight down there. We'll have a good time, you know. I mean, just, you know, come on down a little bit. And my sister Dolores, I'm going to pick on you a second, sister Dolores. She is one here that I've heard testify so many times. And sister, may I talk about you for a minute? Do you mind? Okay. She used to go to the Moose all the time. Did you not? Yes. There every week. Always there. Always there. For years and years and years. She got born again. She quit going. 8 years now? Something like that? 7 or 8 years ago now.
And about 15.
Oh, really? That far? Oh, wow. Praise God. And people would come in during lunchtime here and say, hey, I ain't seen you down at the Moose for a while. Well, I don't go there no more. No, I follow Jesus. You know, you didn't say, oh, well, you didn't make up any excuses. Well, you know, I've had a headache for 3 years, or, you know, I didn't have any gas to get there. So, no, I just don't go there. Now the word came up. Now you're thinking, okay, Pastor, is there something wrong with the Moose and the Eagles and the animals? Is there elks and all that kind of stuff? Groundhogs and stuff like that? Well, don't they do a lot of good in the community? Yes, they do a lot of good in the community. But God says, be in the world, but not of the world. Let from your lips be a testimony of what Jesus Christ has done. Okay? You want to know, well, I don't know, I understand. I'm okay, but when I go to the Moose down there on Friday nights and play Hazy, or I don't know what I feel different the next morning. I get more arguments when I get home. Why? Because you're walking to an area that's designed. It's not for fellowship as Christians. Okay? It might be a fellowship, but you're walking an area where there's all type of demonic activity. Alcoholism is in there, drug addiction in there, fornicators, all kind of stuff is in there. And you're walking amongst them in there, and you're sitting down, and you're thinking you're made out of Teflon. Oh, nothing come on me. Nothing come on me. And that's a lie of Satan. Listen, let your ears be open today. That's a lie from Satan. It'll come upon you. It'll sneak up on you so great. Water your testimony down so much. How can you go testify to them? They shouldn't be there. You know what you did last night? Tell me how great Jesus is. Tell me how I've been delivered from these things of the world, okay? And I'm telling you, he'll come in upon you, and he'll slap you around. Now, I'm not just getting on the local establishments. The high lottery does the same thing, folks. I'm going to step on toes. They all step on toes. I'm telling you what. Taking our money is bad enough paying our taxes and having that money go for abortions And they sell little babies, little parts off of them when they're cut up like a meat table. Bad enough, but to go in and take my money and lay it down for a lottery ticket when I say, God will supply all my needs, and I fund the thing that this state does and this government does. Oh, God forgive us for that. Oh, guys, wake up. God will provide all your needs. Oh, what's one little ticket? Dolores, what's one little ticket? That's $1 more. How much money does it take to bring a knife up and insert it into a child? Guys, these things are getting a hold of the churches and it's watering down. Because people say, well, come as you are. Yes, come as you are, but the Lord let him change you. Amen? Come on, guys. I'm telling you what. Satan's come to kill, steal, and destroy. I just spoke about a minute ago. I just talked about that earlier today. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll use everything imaginable you are. Understand? God wants to set you free from this stuff. He wants you away from the world. Be in the world, but not in the world. Be out of the, in the world, but not out of the world. Yes. And folks, it starts so small. Oh, it's okay. Because what happens is this. Wherever you might be at, someone tells a dirty joke. I shouldn't laugh about it. Right across from you. I'll pick on Jim. That's all you. There's Jim sitting there. Well, next week, I run a gym. I want to tell him about Jesus. Hey, Jim, I want you. You need to come to church Sunday. Well, how can I tell Jim? Say, hey, how can you tell him to come to church? He sat there and listened to you laugh at that jerk. I just compromised my witness to Brother Jim. He'll say, well, Starkey, well, I laughed at the same joke. I must be just as good as he is. I don't need this Jesus thing. If you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So there you go. He said, oh, wow, I'm just as good. And it goes on down, on down, on down, on down. It waters all the way down, guys. It takes rare. Say, oh, God, I need this. I need that. He'll supply all our needs as the rich in glory in Christ Jesus. We give him all we have. Surrender all to him. He'll supply all our needs. But folks, we got to watch. We're letting things into our life so endlessly, letting them in, and it's destroying us. We don't understand, well, what's going on? Oh, so last week I was so fired up for the Lord, but what happened this week? Ooh, what got on me? You ever walk through a basement and it's got a lot of cobwebs? And you go through it, you get out there, oh my gosh, how did it get that on me? What is it? Well, you just walk through the basement with cobwebs. Amen? Okay. So what do you expect to get when you walk through a bar? What do you expect to get? Don't think that the Holy Spirit's in there hanging out to get a hold of you. Understand that? Now, it's one thing to go in the bar and say, Bonnie, hey, I knew you were going through a tough time. I just want to talk to you today. Yeah, I'll take a Coke, please. And sit there and witness to you for the purpose of witnessing to you, to deliver you. But not to come in there to associate with you and participate in the things of the world. Okay? Bonnie's not in the bar. Don't think she's in the bar last night. She's my cousin. I'm picking on family members, okay? But it's one thing to do that. It's another thing to go in and participate. Oh, I don't do this. I don't do that. You are funding an establishment that are known to destroy lives. And folks, if anybody here are members of the club and stuff like that, you know, I can't say I'm sorry. I'm just bringing forth the word of God. You need to digest it, pray, and let God set you free. Because I'm serious. It just we don't need the entertainment of the world for Christians. Some of that country music you're all listening to, it's destroying you. Some of the contemporary music you listen to, I'm saying you're opening your ears up. It's putting stuff inside of you. And God, I don't need to say some of the stuff you guys are posting on Facebook, or some of the stuff you're reading on Facebook. And I mean, this thing is real. This demonic movement is really real. You'll find any way so innocent to get into Christian lives, and we got to be so cautious. I'm not sure what to do, then don't do it. Remember that little things are getting into our lives, and we're approving things. We're doing things that people are going to say, well, If the Christians can do that, then I must be okay too. Folks, it's not easy to be a follower of Jesus. Amen? Can you hear me? It's well worth it, okay? But when you came to Him at the cross, you surrender everything to Him, okay? I want to be like Jesus, okay? Jesus would walk into a bar to witness someone, okay? Jesus would not go in there to play games. He would not go there and say, hey, give me a brewski or give me a Coke here and give me a pool cue. No, I really don't believe you. No, He'd be there to deliver people. But we have to watch what we're getting involved with. So easily, things are coming in into our lives. And again, he shared this verse with me this morning. I'm going to read it with you. Many of you are familiar with it, but he wants to give us a little teaching on it. But this is, it's increasing all the time. I'm going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And I'm going to give you a little insight here on a couple of things here. But this is Paul and Silas. They are out preaching the gospel. They're out sharing what God called them to do in their town. And they're headed to a place. And on their way, they encountered a woman walking. So in verse 16 of chapter 16, I'd like to pick up here. And as it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of deviation met us, who was bringing her masters much profit for fortune telling. Okay? Fortune telling. We're talking there, we're talking about tarot cards, we're talking about palm reading, we're talking about horoscopes, Jean Dixon. I don't know who the modern one is anymore, but. Praise God, no one got out the name. but bringing much profit, fortune-telling, falling after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very, very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Here's a woman. She is possessed. She's going around. They're using her to tell the future. Okay? Somewhere along the line, Satan got a hold of her. Somewhere along the line, he wrapped her up and started using her. How did it start? How did she get to the point that she is so possessed that she's gone around and she's telling people fortunes? It starts off small. It starts off with little things that came upon her life. Little things that would come into a person's life and slowly but surely starts bounding you up. Now here she is now. She is being used by people that they didn't want to set her free. They were glad that she was possessed. Because they were making money off of her. They were using her in order for their own profit. They didn't go and see to get her separate. They didn't want to. But inside of this woman who'd been used, who'd been talking about the fortunes, futures, all that kind of stuff, inside of her was something that wanted to be set free because she's following them around. Yeah. And day after day after day, she kept saying, hey, watch out! Here comes the man of God. Here they come. You know, it become very annoying after the 3 or 4 days, you know that? It'd be like me up here trying to preach and Aaron's back there says, yep, there's the man of God. Yep, there's the man of God. I can't get a word out. Aaron, what? Okay. But finally, I believe Paul and Silas recognize, wow, we can't continue on with her doing what she's doing. So he turned to her. He come out of her. And that spirit left her. She was set free. And instead of the people rejoicing that she was set free, now they were mad. Because what happened? They ain't going to make any more money. Right. Kind of like maybe my sister Dolores here, maybe, and Daryl. Hanging out down in the Moose at one time. Okay? And maybe you would buy, hey, I'll buy a round. I'll buy you dinner. I'll do whatever, you know. I'll buy you a ticket, whatever the things are, okay? And they enjoyed that. But when you got born again, they got aggravated at God. Because, hey, that's our meal ticket. Daryl always get for a good cheeseburger. I always tell Daryl a story, and he would buy me something. Your heart is big as Texas. You know that, brother? But when you give your life to the Lord, man, you no longer go to them spots anymore. And so people shunned away from you, talking bad about you now because you no longer go there. And folks, the same way with ourselves. Where are you going at today? Where do you repeat yourself at today that you think you got friends at? Are they your friends or are they just using you? Is it what you have in you? And I'm talking about your wallet. Is that what they want? As long as you got money, you got friends. You know that, brother? I'll tell you that. Long as you got money, you've got friends. And if you want a lot of money, win $1 million. And you'll see how many friends you got. People will be drawn to you like magnets on a refrigerator. Because they know what you have, they can get what they need. But I'm telling you what, the same way with Christ inside of us, should be so great that it should be our lives that we're living should be so great and so purified through the blood of Christ that it should be drawing people. Amen? It should be drawn. Oh man, I want what they, got. Well, they don't get them anymore. I know, but look at them. They have got peace. They've got joy. Man, they have got something that I want. So our presence around people with Christ in us should be drawing people to the Lord. Not giving them a purpose to stay away from the Lord. Amen? Okay? So we have to watch it. And a lot of times we'll sit around in a crowd and we'll talk. I mean, I'm not saying we're gossiping, but we're just talking. Maybe talking the truth about the economy or this or that, the other. Well, number one, we all, if you know things are bad, we don't need to say that. But we need to say, well, I know, but, you know, God says. God says. Take that scripture and speak it out. I know. I know things look bad, but He tells me. And He'll supply all our needs, the rich in glory in Christ Jesus. In fact, I'll testify today, I've never went hungry. He's always fed me. I've ate food, I'm not sure what it was. Nothing personal. But He's always fed me, He's always clothed me, He's always gave me housing. And sometimes that housing might be with a relative for a couple of weeks, but He provided for me. The relative opened the door up for us. Understand what I'm saying? That's what we need to be encouraging. We start knocking down the economy or this person, that person, that person. We're getting on a roll. We're doing the complete opposite. We are supposed to be the cure, remember? Amen? Remember the snake bite? Use the venom of the user? We're supposed to be the cure. And that is the Word of God. To light those areas up again. And be ready to give a testimony. And there she was. She was possessed. She was being used. Satan had a heyday with her. How long she'd been that way, I'm not sure. For years. And when she heard the Word, man, she followed him around. Now, she was insulting in a way. Hey, there's man of God. But inside of her, and there's a little girl that wanted out. And as they recognize it, finally go, okay. And cast her, set her free. Amen. Man, awesome. Set free. But the minute she was, those who she was slave to, man, they got mad and got upset. You know? You think they'd be rejoicing. But nope. In verse 19, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans. And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten. Let's go back to 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming custom which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans. They didn't say, hey, these guys cast a demon out of my slave girl. They blew it out of proportion. Yeah. They want to include everybody now. Well, I'm going to tell them the whole city's on uproar. They're going to do something now. Amen. Come on, preach it. They want to make it racist. Yes. Oh, everyone. Everyone. Oh, they want to get more people going. Oh, I'll tell you what. Instead of saying, hey, listen, we lost our livelihood because we had this woman captive. She was a slave for us, making us money because she was demon-possessed, and they set her free. Well, who would be in an uproar over that? Just the people who owned her. not the rest of the people. So let's get everyone behind us. Okay? And we do that sometimes ourselves. Even ourselves, when we're caught in sin at times, you find yourself in sin and people catch you in sin. Instead of proclaiming, yes, I've sinned, they do it! They do it! Do you ever hear that? Oh, they all do it! Hey, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to... Oh, my. And Satan just take a foothold and he'll go with it. You know, recently, I encountered a person and I saw him coming to me. And I was out walking, they were walking, and they was walking like this. And when they got closer, I saw this. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. Oh, okay. Oh, what you got? I'm taking movies back. Oh, you are? Okay. What kind of movies? About God. Oh, okay. Which one? No. I left it at home. Oh, let me see him. Let me see. Listen, I just saw you walking down the street like this. But when you saw me, you went like this. Then what happened? It caused you to lie. Huh. It's bad enough watching the movie. Now, the movie wasn't, they weren't pornos, but the slasher ones, gory ones, horror movies. You used to watch that, Christian. We don't bring that stuff in our life. The minute they saw them, they get convicted of it. Conviction is good, but look what happened next, though. Okay? I mean, still, no sin yet. They lied to me. Okay, they went on. But then the next day, I come across this person. Well, yeah, that was a movie about God. I thought it was going to be a movie about God. So I waited. And I talked to him. Come here. I says, listen, I can't let you stay in this sin. And he looked at me. I said, listen, you lied to me last night. You're watching something that you heard me preach about, saying this isn't good for Christians, we shouldn't be bringing this stuff in. I never said it was a sin, but we shouldn't be doing this. Amen. You heard me say that before. Let God bring conviction upon you. But then you lied to me, and now you lied to me again. I want you to be set free from that sin. Why did you lie to me? Well, I know you want me to watch the movies. Yes, but look what happened. It caused you to lie and lie again and lie again and lie again. I'm going to pray with you right now and just ask God to forgive you for the sin against me. And you'll be set free from that. So we prayed together. Boom. Oh, thank you. We hugged and that was it. Well, see how quick and how easy we can fall into sin. And I knew, right? I mean, come on. I mean, you go from this to this. I mean, there's something going on, you know. It didn't take a whole lot of discernment on your pastor to realize that, you know. But God wouldn't let me let it go because He wanted that person to learn, to be forgiven, and go on. Otherwise, it'd be time and time again that would continue on. You know, just give Satan this little bit like that. So what does the Bible say about liars? Liars will not see the kingdom of God. Okay, many sins included in that, but that's one thing. Those who lie, continue to lie, will not. So I want to give him this person relief. And I pray that they grow from that. Amen. Now everyone here, you know, the next time you're going back to the movie house, carry him in a brown bag. That way you don't have to hide him from me, okay? But in verse 20, I'm sorry, Lord. Yeah. Never mind. Verse 22. And the crowd rose up against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. You know, it's come to mind, I was reading that. It's like next week I'm protested out front here by every private club in Coshocton County because you said we're no good and we're hateful and we're going to hell. Did I ever say that? No. But I can hear it being transformed from one voice to another, and next thing you know, no. I'm just saying, as Christians, God wants us to watch out, not let things come upon us. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they beat Paul and Silas for setting this woman free. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, when you go to prison and you're commanded as a jailer to keep them, it is your life. You have to do that. If those prisoners escape, you take their place. Yeah, you make sure you want a job when you take on a job as a jailer. You know what I'm saying? But he said, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So, again, we've crossed this before. We're going to cross this bridge again. In the middle of their trial, they could be like, oh, God, what's wrong with us? God, you called us. You told us to go out there and set people free. The master said to lay hands on the sick, they recover, and demons respond to you. We're doing what you told us to do, and here we are in prison? What kind of God am I serving? You know, they could have that attitude. Me. But they didn't. Okay, God. Jesus, you bought me with your blood. I'm yours. We did what you want to do. You did say we'll be persecuted. We got beat today. They're in there. Instead of whining, they're praising God. Hey, I'll praise you. My last breath, God, I will praise you. You know, they thought they were dying, I would say. They were beaten really bad. Okay. In the middle of one of the greatest things that at that time had come against them, they continued to praise God. And that is supposed to be a thing for us right now today, that when we're in the middle of the things that come upon us, instead of complaining, man, what's wrong, God? You up there? What happened? Listen, Jesus already told each one of us that we will be persecuted, did he not? Is that news to anybody? That we will be persecuted. As he was, so will we. But he bought it with a price. His blood. He gave us everlasting life. So we have to do the same. As when we find ourselves in the middle of one of these trials, keep faith with God, keep praising Him. And while they were doing that, other prisoners think, man, what's wrong with these guys? They are praising Him. They've been beaten, they're shackled, they can't go anywhere, they can't move, they're laying there naked. You know, that's embarrassing enough right there. You have to shackle, we ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't stop. They kept praising Him. And what a testimony it was to the other prisoners around them. Mm-hmm. Glorifying God. And that's the same way we can do the same thing in the middle of our trials. Praising God, glorifying Him. Out of truth, I mean, out of loving Him. And let it be a witness of those around us. That would draw people. I said, man, I don't know what you got, man, but if you can lay there shackled and beaten, and you still praise God, the God that you serve, I want that. I want that. I didn't see any of them, you know, they could have been, but Were they praising Satan? Oh, thank you for beating me. I mean, the other prisoners. Thank you for putting this place. No. You know, Satan is a deceiver. He'll come upon you in ways that you never expected. Any way to get you locked and bound by sin. Yeah. And once he's got you, he don't care nothing at all about you. He wants to destroy you. But about midnight, said Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake. Wow. Suddenly, a great earthquake. So that the foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Everyone, because of them guys praising God, glorifying the name of Jesus Christ in the middle of their storm, not just themselves were set free, but everyone around them was set free. And the same way with us. And we praise Him, give Him the glory, allow Him to raise up in us. Not just ourselves are being set free. Those around us, just being in the presence of us, with the presence of God on us, will be set free from the things that bound them. Amen? You know, and so once they get set free, I imagine somewhere along the line, Paul and Silas will say, hey, that's the God that we serve. That's how we got set free. That's why you're set free today. You need to come and come to our God and stay with our God. That way the shackles will not come back on you again. If we can be set free and still be back under the power of Satan again, if we do not allow God to come into our life and fill up that void where Satan once was. Understand that, okay? It's one thing to set somebody free, but if you don't give them the gospel, you don't share about Jesus Christ, and nothing else comes in back into them, the Bible says sooner or later, that spirit that was in them will go around and come back and say, wow, there's nobody in here. It's cleaned up, but nothing here. And they'll go and get seven of his buddies worse than him and come back into a person's life. It's like having a relative move in with you for a while. You say, okay, it's time to go. Get out. Well, when they leave, And you go to work maybe a couple months later, and they come back around, look through the windows, and there's no way upstairs here. He said he didn't want me in here. He didn't have room for me anymore. Pops the window up, and you come home, you get your aunt and uncle, and you got two people who know who they are moved in, okay? But if you fill that room up, they're not coming back in. It's the same way. Folks, I'm telling you, it's the same way our own lives today. We have to stay filled up with the Word of God. We have to stay in His presence. We can't step aside for 1 second. We cannot step out into the world and try the thing that God laid upon our hearts not to do anymore, because yeah, they'll come back in. They will come back. That stronghold that you once had, the addiction maybe you once had, the way you thought one time, the way you acted, it all come back. And that's why it's so important. The minute you find yourself, oh, I just sinned, repent from it. Don't allow the shame of the sin to stop you from going back to the Lord. Don't allow the shame of sin to stop you from coming back to the assembly. Amen? Because the Master took that shame on the cross, okay? Every one of us here was ashamed and sin at one time in our life. And we go back and forth time again. If we do, get back up again. Don't let Him come against you and say, hey, listen, man, you're no good. You're worthless. I told you you couldn't do it. How can you go back here to church this Sunday what you did last night? Oh, they all read it on the front page of the paper. You going back into the assembly? Yes, I'm going back in there. I ain't giving up. You know, that's just one day out of my life. I got many more through Jesus Christ. Don't allow Him to separate, but don't allow Satan any part at all. Nothing. If it looks like sin, smiles like sin, it probably is sin. Amen? And when the jailer had been aroused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoner had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. There we go. Set free now. They have been set free. That jailer had been holding him, right? That jailer had him in prison. That jailer could have been looked at as the enemy. The enemy. That jailer's got a hold on me. Boy, curse him, curse him. No. It was the powers and principalities that had a hold of that jailer. He was following orders from superiors. Okay? Paul and Silas knew that. When they were set free, boom. Here's this jailer, knowing that he failed his job, knowing that he was going to be killed. I'll just go ahead and kill myself. They said, no, don't do that. A lot of us might rejoice. Yes! Destroy my enemy. Destroy my enemy. But they didn't. They saw the enemy. The true enemy is Satan. He's the one that come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the one that put thoughts in our minds. He's the one that calls us to act against God. They recognize that. Right away, don't. We're all here. Wow. Talk about a testimony to that jailer, Kathy. Can you imagine that? What? You're still here? Number one, you didn't escape? No, he's set free, but they didn't escape. Why? Because exactly where God wanted them at. Why? Because of the trials and tribulation we went through that day. It wasn't about them, was it? Listen, that trial and tribulation you're going through today, it's not about you. Let's read the next verse. Let's read the next verse. We are all here. And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And as he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Wow, look at the testimony. Set free, they're still there, okay? Because you know why? They were still under the command of the authority. Was they not?
Yeah.
The authority placed them in there. God set them free, but they weren't going to go against the authority. God said to do that, follow the authority. Because they were obedient and praising the Lord, the Spirit of God can now set them free. Sir, what must I do to be saved? He saw their lifestyle. Listen up. They weren't sitting there in that jail cell, cussing, talking against their jailers, not talking against their government. Nah. Because they know, if I'm here, and I'm a follower of God, that He has control of me, He will use this for His purpose.
Right.
I know they search themselves. Father, if I have sinned that caused the enemy to come into my camp, forgive me. But I know You have all authority over me. Use this for Your glory. And there they were. The rest of them was probably prisoners was probably, you know, hey, you bunch of donut eaters out there. You know, we heard it all as a cop. Hey, Flatfoot, you know, all that. But their life was so great, even in prison, that it drew the guards to them. Folks, even the preacher over there preaching to the inmates how I got saved. What a testimony. Other preacher coming in there, pouring church mouth, smile on his face, giving the gospel. And here we all was inmates. We all was held by Satan. You just never know what that one word that you say, that one act as you follow the Lord, how it'll set people free. And verse 31 says, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he says, sir, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. Look how God used that. You know? Was someone somewhere praying? Was there someone else in the family that was saved praying for their son, their brother, who's a jailer? Oh, God, save him. Send somebody into the path. Let him hear the word of God. Okay. Here comes Satan. Gets old Paul and Silas. Has them beaten. Put them in jail. But they stay faithful to Jesus Christ. And through praising, going through this trial they've gone through, they come through it. A family was saved, and they were released. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And our God is still the same today. You know, they could have gave up in the middle of that trial. Just gave up. Who knew what would happen the next day? Maybe they would have been killed. I don't know. But they stayed faithful. Say, Lord, I don't care what's coming. Use this for your glory. And he did. I pray that we may also draw strength from what Paul and Silas have come through. Allow Jesus Christ to just, don't give Satan a foothold anywhere. And maybe this morning the words that God had me share today, maybe I stepped on some toes today. Maybe you're sitting, oh, preacher, I don't know about that. I'll never come back here again because you don't talk against my clubs or, you know, talking. Folks, I'm just, God loves you so much. But some of us are getting ourselves in the bondage. We're getting ourselves wrapped up in stuff. We don't know how it's happening. And it's because we're allowing things around us. We're using things for entertainment that God said, don't do that. That he sees a bigger picture. Okay? I just encourage you today, if you have any questions about the message, if it's touching your heart in a way that, boy, you're not sure. Before you have fried pasture for supper tonight, call me up and let me share. Share what God really wants us to do. I mean, He wants to set us free. He wants to use every one of us. Demonic activity is raising up. It's not here to scare anybody. It's taking place. God wants to strengthen us, but the line is drawn. You're either for me or you're against me. There's no straddling the fence. You can't play in the enemy's camp for a while and then come back over here and play in God's camp and back in the enemy camp. Now you're going to be either completely in God's camp or you're going to be in the enemy's camp. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. And God, I just thank you for your presence today. I thank you for, Lord, for all that came in this morning to worship you, God. God, this is awesome. When your presence dwells with your people, Lord, I just thank you for the hope we have through Christ Jesus. And Father, help us, God, every one of us, Lord. You had a few things you had me name today, but God, there's plenty of things out there. And we just ask today to minister each one of us. Show us the areas that we are weak in. Show us the area that the enemy slides in there at times and causes chaos, that we unknowingly allow them to enter. And God, the things that we do that we know is not of you, Father, we just seek forgiveness today and we just turn away from that, God. Maybe we'll be strengthened. And how do we get strengthened? By hearing your word. And sometimes it's not God to take it away from us. You just say, hey, turn away from it. And you give us free will, you give us strength. And may we use that to turn away from the things that's not of you and be drawn closer to you. And God, this act that you administer each one here today, Father. And Father, we call that through your Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you brought healing to our bodies and deliverance to our minds and our souls. And you promised a day of a day of great rejoicing, that you're coming very soon to receive us. Until that happens, God, may we continue to serve you, continue to share your love. May we continue, Father God, to love one another, to encourage one another. Father, when one of us goes through something, we're all going through it. When the enemy comes and attacks one of us, he's coming against all of us, Father. And God, you give us the authority and power, and may we use it. May we use it in a way that people shall be delivered from sicknesses and diseases. And may we use it, Father God, to show people the true living God. And may you be glorified in everything that we say and that we do. And Father, to you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. God is awesome. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. And may he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. And may you continue to walk under the umbrella of his love, under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. And may the Holy Spirit continue to encourage you. And may your house fall also as this jailer. May it fall under the salvation of the Lord. May God send those workers to the paths of our loved ones to testify, as he sends us in the paths of others to testify. And to God be the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
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 I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning or late night.